right, 3 to 5 year olds, make your way on down here. Be prepared to go out and have a good time. I don't know whose kid that is right there, but I bet he's got a handsome dad. Good looking kid, wasn't it? Oh man, so good to be here. Man, I tell you what, one of my favorite things about the week after 4,000 steps is that I get to wear a t-shirt to preach in. And there, you just can't beat that with a stick, you know. We had a great day yesterday for just to give you guys who weren't able to be there, let me just tell you what a phenomenal, awesome, encouraging thing it is when God puts something in your path and he shows you where he wants you to be involved and you obey and God blesses, and then you get to be with other people who did the same thing. And man, I'm telling you, we were over there just off of Durant Road, right off of Durant Road yesterday evening, and we were praising the Lord for what God had done. And several ladies who had been helped by Human Coalition, the ministry here, in the part of the ministry here in Raleigh, they stood up and gave a testimony of how God had met not just their physical and financial needs, not just giving them the strength and encouragement to choose life instead of abortion, but also they were able to share how God had used that love from the body of Christ to point them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we can praise the Lord for that. If we can't praise the Lord for anything else, we can praise the Lord for that. And so it's exciting. Yeah, there you go. Now you're going. If y'all keep this up, I'm going to have to paint over the Baptist on the sign. but anyway, listen, what I want to do for a few moments with you this morning is if you will take your Bibles and turn to about the middle, we're going to turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. You can stand with me. We're going to stand and read it together. I'll know you're ready to read when you're standing. Psalm chapter 1. All right, more are up than are down, so I'm going to read. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of waters, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Please have a seat. Father, as we get into your word this morning, God, we've had a great time here. Just celebrating and just praising you this morning, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come and to sing and to give and to pray. But Lord, as we've come to the part of the time where your word has center stage, I ask and pray, God, that our hearts and minds would be open and attentive. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and that he would open to us all things about you, Lord, that we need to know, that we would be open to the truth of your word, and Lord, that he would speak right into our hearts, and that we would just, God, that we wouldn't put up any barriers, that we wouldn't try to block him out, and that we wouldn't try to drown out his voice with the things of this world, but that we would hear him clearly, and that through this, Lord, that we would leave here growing and maturing in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And when we come into Psalm chapter 1, there are several things about Psalm chapter 1 that are just absolutely beautiful. But none of it, I think, exceeds the start of it, which says, blessed is the man. So the rest of this sermon and the rest of this Psalm chapter 1 are intended to help you know how to enjoy blessing and happiness in the Lord. Amen. How many of you would like to be walking in happiness and joy and blessedness with the Lord? How many of you this morning? All right? Okay. Here it is. Okay, this is not an extensive list, but this is a big part of it. And what we're going to see as we look into this passage is that there are some clear things to not do. There are some clear things to do. I don't know about you, but almost all of life works that way. There are some clear things not to do. There are some clear things to do. In Psalm chapter 1, it begins out by telling us that there is a promise of being blessed, of being happy in the Lord, and there are some things that you should not do. Now, when you look into this passage, one of the first things that he says is, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, in Scripture, throughout Scripture, we see a lot of this, walk as a description. And as you're going through your life, what I want you to know, when you're walking through your life, there are a lot of people who are going to try to speak into your life and explain some things to you about how you ought to live your life, what your life goals ought to be. Those of you who are under the age of 35 in this room, you should pay especially good attention today. Because I want you to know that there's going to be a lot of people in your life that are going to try to speak in and override you. Those of you over 35, I now know everything because I'm 35, so I figure y'all are good too. Right? Isn't that right?
Wrong.
Everybody in this room needs to listen. But our young people especially, I want you to listen. Because what I want you to hear is that this first part is, listen, the blessing comes from not walking in the counsel of ungodly people. Now, what does that look like? One of the first things that we might be tempted to say is to find the most despicable list of characters we can find, and we should say, don't ever listen to people like that. Now, that just goes without saying, doesn't it? I don't need to tell you, don't build your life principles on Adolf Hitler's life principles. That goes without saying. He's saying something deeper here. And what he is challenging us to this morning is, when you're walking through life, if you're trying to walk in the path of blessing with the Lord, your counselors and instructors for what you need to do with your life need to be people who are firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God and have a love for Jesus. If it's anybody else, they're going to steer you the wrong way. And see, what happens is, these people come along and they are successful in the eyes of the world. And so what you might be tempted to do, when you're making, how many of you have ever had to make a decision about a job? Anybody? And let me tell you something. One of the first things that will come to your mind when you're making a real decision about a job is you will talk to somebody who is in your field or the field you're interested in and try to get from them the right understanding of how to go about it. Now, that's not totally unwise to get some information. But if that's all you do, then your counsel is from the ungodly, and it's not going to end well. Y'all can play along. Y'all can play along with me now. Okay? Listen, if you make an evaluation about a job based solely on money, that's walking in the counsel of this world, not in the counsel of God. You know that God might put you somewhere where you make less money, but you'll have more opportunity to speak for Him. Imagine. Would God ever do such a thing? But you know, there's a lot of different ways that we do this too. You know, when we get into the counsel of the ungodly, one of the things that I can see is when we begin to just let our minds be shaped and trained and taught by people who do not have a God-glorifying goal in their life. It is fine to occasionally listen to political talk radio. But don't let it shape you. I've listened to those guys. They fall under the counsel of the ungodly. I've listened to them. Okay? And you don't want to be caught up in that. You don't want to be letting somebody have the control over your mind. Younger people, when you go in and when you find somebody that wants to invest into your life and you really like them, but they have no desire to know Jesus or follow Jesus, listen, they're a great person to know, a great person for you to talk to about Jesus, but they are not a great example of somebody to speak into your life a direction for you to go.
Amen.
Now, this is countercultural.
Right.
Our culture says find the most successful person you can find and plug in with them about what to do. And the Bible says, okay, don't do any of that, and instead find somebody who's going to teach you how to just work up and stir up a greater, deeper desire for Jesus.
Amen.
That's the kind of people you should find. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, look at this next part. Do not stand in the path of sinners. Now, what you could do erroneously here is you could look at this passage and you could say, all right, first off, I'm not supposed to let them have a controlling influence over me. Next, he's saying, don't even be near them. That's not what he's saying. How do we know he's not saying that? Well, there's several things that show us. First thing, though, would be the example of our Lord and Savior. If never being around sinners was an example of a good, godly person, then Jesus would not have been an example of a good, godly person. Where was Jesus? Every time you saw him. And look, we miss this sometimes, don't we? We sometimes look at the New Testament and we say, look, he was with the sinful people, the publicans, and the tax collectors, and the prostitutes. Yo, he was with us.
Yes, amen.
We're the sinful people.
Amen.
Are you with me? So when he came into this earth, he exemplified that we can go to the sinful people. What does it mean to stand there in the path of the sinner? Here's what the Lord laid on my heart. We're not going to go there for the sake of time, but you guys can remember in your minds there at the end of the book of Ephesians, Paul in chapter 6, verses 10 through 14, just in his introduction to spiritual warfare, he begins to talk about the importance of the need to stand. And when he's talking about the importance of the need to stand, what he's talking about is when the enemy attacks you, you need to be able to stand firm in the faith. And you've got to have the armor on. You guys with me? Anybody? Y'all ever read that before? Okay, good. Now, when we get back over here, and if we take that similar understanding of stand, here's what I want you to hear. First off, people begin to speak into your life ungodly things as a life way to live. The next step down for you is, then you will become a defender of those ungodly ways. You will stand in defense of things that the Bible says aren't good. I lost y'all. I either hurt your feelings or I lost you. I don't really know which one. One I want to fix. The other one, that's your problem. I got to move on. Now, but look, when the Bible says, okay, this is what the truth of the Word of God says, when you are trained by just the Word of God poured into you and godly examples pouring into you, you will stand firm on the Word of God, and in love you will say, hey, this is what God's Word says. And I can't affirm your sin. And it doesn't matter which sin it is. Listen, we got three or four hot-button issues politically, but who cares about just using those as an example? How about all sin? We need to stand and say, but the Bible says this is not the way it should be. And we should stand firmly in all of those areas.
Amen.
However, if you begin to let somebody pour into your life and begin to shape your mind and your life, what you will begin to do is you will stand in defense of why a certain sin is okay. Hello? I'm not talking about liberal churches. I'm talking about right here. You know, we'll just stand and we'll say, okay, there's certain things that we're okay with. We'll stand in defense of not being a family man and not being involved in church as long as you're really pouring yourself into your career and making a lot of money. The Bible doesn't say that.
That's right.
The Bible says that's not good. You don't know your wife and your kids because you spend all your time at work. You ain't doing the right thing. And I'll stand right here on that. Okay? Now, next thing. Not only do you have to not stand with them and affirm it, but look at that last part. Don't sit in the seat of the scoffers. Now, at a university, they have chairs. And I don't mean things that you put your behind in. What I mean is they have a chair of a certain part of the university. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So you might have a philosophy chair or a theology chair. And what that means is that person is now the one who speaks out to everybody about the way it ought to be. Now, in this time, he would have used this word for sit in the seat in the exact same way. If you remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, beware of the Pharisees who sit where? In the seat of Moses. And so this is a person who now, when it started out, hey, they were just taking some ungodly counsel. Next thing you know, they were over here defending the sinful ways. What do they do next? Now they are the teacher and leader of the sinful ways. I mean, this is how it happens, folks. Listen, we like to pretend that if I just let the world have control of my business side of me, it'll never cross over into my spiritual side of me. That ain't true. If you get over here and let the world and ungodly counselors start guiding you, you'll be soon defending their ways, and before you know it, you'll be the foremost teacher in that particular kind of ungodly counsel. All of those things do not lead to a blessed walk with God. And then by the word blessed, it means a happy, enjoyable walk with God. You're not going to find it doing those things. None of what I just said there at the end of that was rocket surgery, was it? When you look at that, it doesn't say, you don't say, okay, all right, so if I turn on my back on God and become a follower of the ways of the world, I'm not going to find happiness. That makes sense to us. We can move on to the next part. Now, what on earth should he do? Now, we've looked at what he ought not do. Good to know what not to do. Equally good to know what to do, right? Okay? If you need to know what to do, some of you got to go home and cancel some subscriptions. Some of you got to go home and quit paying for your horoscope. Anyway, just push on that button there. Just did I get it? Did I get it? All right. Next, verse 2, but there is a delight that he has, and that is in the law of God. Listen, when you're being led by God and when you're enjoying a wonderful relationship with God, it is because it is God's word that is guiding you. Listen, you can understand this. When the one you're trying to enjoy fellowship and time with, when you get to know them and their ways and what they're like, it's more enjoyable to spend time with them. You don't believe it? Ignore your spouse for the next 6 months and see if it gets more enjoyable. Can't hear y'all. I can't hear y'all this morning. Y'all are quiet this morning. Look, when I see this, what he tells me is this. When I get into this word is God's word. This word is truth. And when I read into this word, I'm going to be totally honest with y'all this morning. I read things in here and I don't like them. Y'all with me? Sometimes I read things and I get Bill Paul's black highlighter out. You know what happens when you highlight in black? You can't read it no more, all right? Anyway, I get in there and I go, yeah, well, you got to have a red one too, Mr. Smarty Britches. Jeez, Jeff. But you know what? When I get to reading God's word, what I've started to realize here at this point in my life is, even especially when I don't understand it or like it, but I say, God, you are God, and I want you to work this out in me. You know what? There is a joy and happiness that comes along with saying, God, you have control. Look, just like yesterday. Do you know why there was so much joy filling that sanctuary over there off of Durant Road? The reason for all the joy was because people looked into God's word, were convicted by our truth, and followed God in that truth. And when they followed God, they found joy. You know this to be true if you're a Christian and you've been one longer than 38 minutes. Because if you have, you've walked with God in something. God has poked you in the heart, and you say, man, that's true, God. Work that out in me. And when he does, he begins to just make it. Now, look, though, it's not just that you look at the word for 45 minutes on Sunday morning and then take the rest of the week off to let it soak in. Right? Some of y'all are great soakers. You come in and you take it in and you lay it down and you walk away. You say, yeah, I'll get around to that later, like next Sunday around 11:35. get back to the Word, right? Yeah, amen, preacher. I love that version, right? No, but what we can see here is he says, look at this, the delight is there. Listen, when I delight in something, I want to spend some time with it. I delight in spending time with my wife. I want to be around her. I don't delight spending time with all y'all. That's why I'll never come see y'all. Oh, no. Just kidding, mostly. And so, but when you delight in something, you want to be with it. You want to be around it. You want to be in it. And what he says right here in verse 2, is in his law he meditates day and night. You know, meditation, we sometimes get the Eastern idea of emptying your mind. When Scripture speaks of meditating, it means fully engaged mind on focused point. What do? You get something, God speaks. You know, sometimes I'll be reading, me and my neighbor were just talking about this the other day. I'll be reading something, and I'll hit a verse or I'll hit a line, and man, it hits me right here. You know what I'll do sometimes? I might have planned to read that whole chapter. You know what I'll do? I'll go ahead and I'll close up the Word. Not because I don't like it, but because I need to chew on that piece for a little while. You know what I'm talking about? God just hits you right in the heart with something. You say, you know what? God, that's where I need to meditate. And so I just get that nugget, and I just hold on fast to that nugget for a while. And I'll just chew on it and chew on it, and it'll wash back up in my mind, and I'll chew on it some more. You're doing this day and night. How many times has God ever woken you up as a Christian in the middle of the night because there's something that he's working on you about in your heart and your mind? And he just chews. You just chew. He says, oh, God, you're working on me. But you know what? That's some of the best not sleep I've ever had in my life. Because there's great joy and happiness when God is doing that. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. Goodness gracious. You know what? He is like a tree planted by rivers of water. Now, I don't know if you get his idea here. But when you live near a desert, living things growing in the ground are precious to you. You get that? And so what he says here is he says, you know what grass can be like? Grass can grow up quick, but it's got no deep root system. And as soon as the hot scorching sun hits it, it'll wither right up. You know, last year, the first time in my life I ever spent any money on my yard. And I got out there, man, I aerated, I fertilized, I seeded, I did everything that the book told me to do. And some extra things just because it seemed right. And I got a beautiful stand of some green, luscious grass. Oh, man, I was so excited about the grass in my yard. And then it turned 178,532 degrees for about 4 days in a row. And I had beautiful, lush, wonderful brown dirt in my backyard. You know why? Because it didn't have what it needed to be able to make it through like a tree. Now, I've also, right off the back of our deck, we have got a pine tree that it would take three of us to reach around. It's about 65, 70 feet high. It is a massive piece of tree. Do you know that that thing was fine right on through that heat and dry spell? Didn't bother it a bit. And it's the symbol there that he's trying to put in our minds. When you are not taking the counsel of the ungodly, when you are not standing, defending the sinful ways, when you are not sitting down being an expert in sinful ways, but rather you are being led by the Spirit of God through the work of His Word in your life, it is like you are standing there spiritually able to weather the storms that come against you. And amen, Christians, some storms are going to come. And when the storm comes or when the drought comes, you've got a source of nourishment that cannot be dried up. That rivers of water roll right by your root system. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? Man, I'm telling you, this psalm writer here, he should have gotten a job. All right? Look at what else it says, though. It brings forth its fruit in its season. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. I want you to hear this. This is important. Not every season of your life will be bursting with fruit bearing. Not every season will. But as God sustains you and brings you through, there is going to be seasons of fruit bearing in the life of this blessed man. There's going to be seasons, and you're going to have fruit bearing, and God's going to see to it, because He's going to be the one that sustains you, having planted you right by all that you need for supplies. Now look what else it does, though. However, the leaf will never wither. You know, I want you to know, a few months back, when you walked out into my backyard, when you looked up into the top of my pine trees, they were green. When you looked up into the top of my poplars, they were bare. Amen. Nothing there, right? And that tree had just kind of chilled out. But I want you to know that what He is saying here is you are more an evergreen than you are somebody who's just going to wither up and have no signs of life for a period of time. You might not be in a season of fruit bearing, but you will be in a season of life showing. And God's going to bring you to that next season of fruit bearing, okay? So how about that? Look at this last line. Boy, I tell you what, if there's ever been a line in Scripture that's probably been twisted, this is it, huh? And whatever He does, He shall prosper. So if you'll do these things, and then you will go and rob a bank, God will make sure you escape, okay? Y'all can leave here knowing that self-assured, right? That's what He means, isn't it? That's not at all what He means. What He means is when a man or woman is being led by the Spirit of God, is following what God has for them to do, God is going to see to it that He accomplishes what He set you out to do. Now, if God is the one making sure it happens, that's why He can say with such confidence, whatever He does will prosper. You know why? Because it is God is the one who is working it out. Good stuff, man. Whoo, man, I tell you what, I really wanted to get through this whole psalm, and y'all talk back so much I don't have time. And so, what I want us to do is we're going to stop right here. And we're going to begin next week, do 4, 5, and 6 as the Lord wills. And but there's so much good stuff in those first 3 verses. Will you bow your heads with me for just a moment and just pray? What I want you to just consider, as we have a time of invitation, here's what I want you to do. I don't have a doubt in my mind that there's every one of us in this room, we have some ungodly counsel that we invite into our lives every day. And for whatever reason, we're convinced that they're the right one to be there. And God's been working in your heart this morning. I believe that the Holy Spirit works through His Word, don't you? And I believe that God's been speaking to some of you right here this morning and saying, hey, there's some ungodly counsel we need to cut out of your life. I want you to step out right now from where you are and just say, Father, there's some ungodly counsel in my life, and I want you to take it out. And I don't want to follow it anymore. For some of you here, it has been that the ungodly counsel has taken deep root, and you have become a defender of things that you know aren't true and right biblically. And God's saying, hey, we need to deal with those things right now in your life. Some of you need to say, hey, not only do I have things rooted in that I've become a defender, but I've become a teacher of these things. And God's convicted me that I've got to get these things out of my life to enjoy His presence, to enjoy walking with Him, to have that blessedness, that joy, that happiness. So some of you, I want you to step right out. Some of you this morning, what I want you to do is, God's working in your life. You've been, by God's grace, you've been tuning out those ungodly counselors, and you are right here as you sit, you're feeling like, God, just give me a deeper love for Your Word, so that I would drink more and more deeply from that well and have my soul more and more satisfied and enjoy the place where You've planted me. And I just ask you, if you guys need anything at all to be prayed for this morning, as you sit there or you're gathered around this altar, you say this morning, you know what? I need somebody to pray with me, because I think some of my struggles are going to be hard when I try to let go of some of these counselors I have, some of these ways that I have. Is there anybody here who would say, you know what, I'd just like somebody to come pray with me? Would you just slip your hand up, okay? Okay, I see one right here. I see one right here. We got somebody coming to you, brother. Is there somebody else who would say, I would like somebody to come and pray with me? Is there anybody else here? Just say, I would like somebody to come and pray. Just slip your hand right up. All right, we got one more right here. Got somebody who'd like some prayer. Thank you, brother. Anybody else, anybody at all, say, I'd like somebody to come and pray with me.